We encourage you for this lesson. This is a very weird statement if you look on it. I have read and read what people say about this in Revelation chapter 12, and this will cover verse 13 to 16. And I will hold myself to my standard that I will use the Old Testament to understand what the New Testament said. So there are some Bible references that I will read from my page. I just copy and put between parentheses my comment on it. So I let you look in your Bible, but I need to have the reinforcement in here. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 to 16. And when I do exegesis studies, I always dwell in the only Bible the guarantee is a historical background, and that's the King James Bible. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a times. And I put myself between parentheses 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent, remember the serpent is the dragon, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You're talking about language which where? Here you have it all here. Let's pray. Father, we just read in a scripture that you intended us to understand. And so I pray that you guide me and I have a Bible study. And if I'm wrong, I ask you forgiveness because this is a difficult passage, and I'm going to share what I understand about this passage. Bless us as we look together, in Jesus' name, amen. I divide the understanding in three parts. First, let me recall in my mind, and you have written over there so you can check me out, the events in the paragraph. This is what I recall. When the dragon is cast out of heaven into the earth, knowing that his defeat has been brought about by the elevation of the man-child to the place of power, and remember the man-child was Jesus, he will concentrate his hatred and malice on the sun-clothed woman who gave the man-child birth. Now, to the woman will be given the wings of a great eagle, and that she may fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she shall be nourished for a time and times and half times, or 3.5 years. These take us back to the flight of Israel from Egypt, of which God said, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." So this business of eagles' wings is typical in the Bible. It's not new. It's something, it's an expression of God and how he brings you an eagle's wheel, eagle's wing. You know, eagles do not fly. They only soar. And so an eagle's wings means that easy, easy. God takes you easy out. All right? That is good. I live in a privileged place. From time to time, I see condors. Condors, you know, with a family of eagles. And they had little babies the other day on the top of one of my trees. And I saw the training. They come in, and the baby is punched right here in the back, and you can see the condor swimming around trees like this, and the baby just taking a great ride. And it's just amazing. No one effort, no one flap. They know exactly the thermodynamic temperature of the air, and with their brain, they guide themselves up and down. It is amazing. Now, imagine that is the way that God said, isn't the way I care for you. That's what he's saying. All right. Now, I'm here on the page 85, and these take us back to the flight of Israel, and we saw that in Exodus 19:4. As a woman and the dragon are symbols, so are the eagle's wings. They speak of the rapid and safe flight of the women, the believers, into the wilderness, where she shall be safely kept and nourished 3.5 years until the dragon is bound. When Israel was in danger in Egypt, God took Israel an eagle's wing out of Egypt into the wilderness to protect it. This is the overall picture that I learned. Now, I have to look to prophecy to see if my understanding is right or wrong. You do well if you open your Bible in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20, or if you prefer, you can read from my paper. I copied the scripture, and I added between parentheses the clue to what we see. What we are looking now is Isaiah 26, verse 20, and 27, verse 1. The prophet Isaiah speaks of this time when he says in Isaiah 26, 20, come, my people. My people is the believers. Now, I have to let you know that in about 70% of commentaries, they think that my people is Israel only. But if this was an event for Israel, I will agree. But the prophecy is not in reference to Israel, it's in reference to the whole body of believers at the end. The prophecy is not for the time of Isaiah, it's away from Isaiah into the future. So cannot be only for the Jewish people. This has to be for the believers. So in my paper, I put the believers between parentheses. So come, my people, enter thou into the chambers and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself and eat where for a little while. The little while in the Old Testament, I took it as an expression of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Until the indignation, that's the word used in the Old Testament for tribulation, until the indignation, and I put between parentheses the Great Tribulation, is overpassed. In that day, the day of the casting out of the dragon, the Lord with his sword, and great and a strong sword, shall punish Leviathan. Leviathan is the dragon, another name for the serpent, and the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So these events of Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 to 16, are there locked into prophecy. So nobody can start saying this means this and this means the other. There has to be understood in the light of the prophecy, and in the light of the prophecy is in the last 3.5 years when the Lord is going to finish with this earth, God's going to protect his people. No one of his believers will escape out of his hand. And God is going to do a smooth sailing of his people. Now, also, I have to look at Christ. I say something about this. And so my point 3 in page 85 deal with you with the events in Christ's words. Now, this is the time that Christ refers in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 22. You can look in your Bible and I read in here. When ye therefore shall see, said Matthew 24, verse 15, the abomination of desolation is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and that's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, stand in the holy place, whose reader let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with a child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, I mean the believers, those days shall be shortened. Again, I'm going to use the Reformation observation. The Reformation in 1600 taught that this event refers only to the Israelites. But First Peter told us that we are the elect of God. All right, remember 1 Peter 2, 9. So therefore, this refers to the believers. Now, the flight that Matthew where here speaks about is not the same flight that Luke speaks about in Luke 21, 20 to 24. So there are two prophecies very similar. They are looked in the commentaries and they are confused. So I'm going to bring this out. This Matthew talks about the end of time. Luke doesn't. So I'm going to read now Luke 21, verses 20 to 24, which is in the paper here, so that you understand that there are two prophecies, very similar in the approach, but very different in time. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and that's the actual Jerusalem, the city, then know that the desolation thereof is night. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with a child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon these people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentile is fulfilled. So, a careful comparison of these two passages will reveal their difference. Luke refers to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Emperor Titus in AD 70. And many people, when you put the two together, then you make a timetable that is not real. So at which time Jerusalem was compassed by the Roman army, and the sufferings of the inhabitants of the city were so great that mothers cooked and ate their own children. This is past. And verse 24 has been fulfilled, for the Jew had been led away captive into all nations. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people were captive into all nations. Now, I explained the Mexicans at McDonald's. They say this, we are no Latin. That's right. Mexico is an authentic race. Latin are descendants of the Italians in the Latin Empire and French and Spain. But Mexicans are Mexicans, see? And I guess I'm the only one who understand and defend them when somebody call them, oh, you're Latinos. I said, no, you're talking to me, not to them. And so explain what that means. And so here's the difference between believers and Israel. God did have a plan for Israel, but Israel rejected God. And so God expanded the plan to all nations. But this particular event in the Gospel of Luke is talking about Israel for not obeying God. See? Now, the flight that Matthew speaks about is still future. He locates it at the time of the Great Tribulation. Remember when we read in Matthew? The time of the Great Tribulation, which he says is to be preceded by the setting up of the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet. We read that. The gods or idols of the heathens are spoken as abominations. Milcom, Molech was the abomination of the Ammonites. Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, according to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5 to 7. This interprets the abomination spoken by Daniel as nothing other than an idol of false god. in the middle of the week, on that tremendous 7 years, in the middle of the week, a desolator, that is a picture of the Antichrist, will appear and cause the sacrifices and the oblation to cease and set up in the holy place of the temple an idol. And that idol will be an image of the beast, according to Revelation chapter 13, in verse 14 and 15. Now, we need to compare this event in page 87. We need to compare the event. Let us now return to the flight of the women and see if we can locate her place, the chamber to which she is to flee, and shut to the door and hide herself for a little while and be nourished by God for a time and a times and a half times, which is 3.5 years. Where do you have a place like this in the Bible? See, everything Revelation said need to be found in the Old Testament. Where do you find a place like this? I found it in the cities of refuge. Some of you have read the Bible enough to remember. So the cities of refuge of the Old Testament time are a type of this wilderness of refuge of the children of Israel. The cities of refuge, and the other day, I guess, Greg, you read about that in Deuteronomy here last Wednesday when we read Deuteronomy. The cities of refuge were designed city, three on each side of the River Jordan, where the man is slayer, could flee for safety from the avenger of blood. If it was proven after trial that he had slain a man willfully, he was turned over to the avenger of blood. But if he did it unwillingly, his life was spared, but he had to remain in the city until the death of the high priest. If there were no manslayer, there will not be avenger of blood, and therefore no need for a city of refuge. And that's recorded in number 35, verse 9 to 34. Now, if I find in the New Testament that a certain class of people are called upon to flee to a place of refuge for the protection of their lives, then I must believe that they flee because an avenger of blood is after them, and that they flee because they are guilty of manslaughter. Such a class of people I find in the believers. And let me go through and you will see. They were the cause of the death of Christ. Is that right? Our sins. Thank you, brother. I should add that. Let me make a note here. Always when you share, you learn to do something better. Thank you, brother. Our sins. So we are those people. We have killed somebody. Some people in my country were upset of the Jewish people because they said a Jewish person at my time when I was young, 50 years ago, a Jewish person will walk in the street and people will spit in their face because they killed Jesus. They get it wrong. We killed Jesus, all of us. So such a class of people I find in the believers. They were the cause of the death of Christ. And though he was crucified by the Romans authority, they assumed the guilt, for they carry his blood be on us and on our children. Remember in Matthew 27, 25. At first sight, it looks like a willful murder. Yet, from the prayer of Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," it is clear that Jesus' death was not so much a premeditated murder as it was a murder committed in a blind religious frenzy. Paul says, had they known, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. All right? Now, it is clear then that the believer's race is only guilty of manslaughter. The believers, as the manslaughter of Jesus, they have been for over 2,000 years running for a city of refuge and have not yet reach it. The believers. All right? Now, if the believers are the manslaughter, who is the avenger of blood? I tell you what it is. It's Satan. It's Christ. When the Lord God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they journeyed from the Red Sea, tarrying for a while at Mount Sinai, to receive the law and build the tabernacle until they came 1 year after leaving Egypt to Kadesh Barnea. There they sent up spies, remember, to spy out the land of Canaan, but refused to go up and take possession of the land, and were compelled to wander in the wilderness south of the Dead Sea. There God took care of them and fed them for 40 years. Can you believe that? In the desert. For 40 years. Now, it is in the same wilderness, the world, that God is going to provide for them a place of refuge in the day when the avenger of blood shall seek to destroy them. In other words, the world is the protection of the believer. Now, these avenger that surround the city are carved and honeycombed with excavations to a high. Oh, this is a paragraph I need to erase and go to the next paragraph. When the time comes for the manslayer, the believer, to escape from the hands of the avenger of blood, the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit will be her city of refuge. We read that when the woman, the believers, shall flee into the wilderness, the world that that serpent, the Antichrist, indwelt by Satan, shall cast a flood of water out of his mouth after her to destroy her, but that the earth shall open her mouth and swallow the flood. That is, Antichrist will send water, a diluted word of God. Water is a picture of the word of God, a diluted word of God, into the wilderness. But during the period of believers hiding in the wilderness, God will nourish her as he did during the 40 years wandering in the days of Moses. In other words, this answers one of the questions somebody asked me, some of the new people asked me the other days when they came to visit with me. What is the greatest danger you see in Christianity? This little book, the Bible, will disappear? No. Will be diluted. I'm scared of new translations and renewed translations. We got good translations. King James, the New King James. Before that, we have the Revised Standard Version. They are based on the King James, the New American Standard. We have good translation. And then what do we have in the market also today? Apart from this translation, what are the others? No, forget about NIV. There's worse than that. What is it? Living Bible. And I saw about 20 different versions. What is it? Yeah. And this is much better. You read it. I thought that we Spanish were protected until Leo, innocently, he get his Bible and read. Now, so far, what he read, I want him to use it so that we check. And so far, it's good. But no word redeem, for example. No word there. He said, and so on. So, you see, this is exactly what Satan will try to do to the world. This water, the picture, this is my understanding. The picture that we have here in Revelation is that Satan will pour all this water out, but God will swallow them up because we do have the real water. See? Now, you go to different churches and check in their pew what Bible are they using. See? So I'm taking a trip this week before going to vacation to every church and visit their sanctuary. I want to say, please, Ambassador, I want to visit your sanctuary. And I want to sneak in and get the Bible, take a note. You will never know which church is. But I want to find out in a statistics way what kind of Bibles are they using here in Morgan Hill. I know in San Diego they are using a Living Bible. I preached there, a church of 4,000, and I told the pastor, I cannot preach with this Bible. It doesn't say what I want to say. So, well, the people will not understand now. They don't understand the English. No, even the NIV? No, they don't understand. How come? They need now an English teacher then. See, what happened is Satan tried to me. The paragraph is saying, now God's going to protect his believers, but the believers need to know that Satan is in business. And remember, he's a smart cookie. He's not stupid. He's not a red guy. With a thing. No, he engineers. And the best way to really destroy the church is change this book. After I read that, I got scared. Because I'm using the New King James and I'm using other translations. So I'm going to use that as a reference, but you're going to hear me preaching from this Bible. Because I don't want to be one who delude the people, see? And so, my friend, the lesson today is simple this. We are heading on tough times. No, by revolution or by not having food. No, by taking away, they're going to take away. It's not that they're going to prohibit this Bible, and I don't know if that time will come, but they're going to switch this Bible for the new Bible. And the believers will not accept it. They will have a time of refuge. And according to the scripture, we will be able to hold our own Bible and our own food because Israel was fed in the wilderness. I will be fed in the wilderness of today. Now, that's my understanding if I'm going to use the Old Testament with the new one. About 70% of the Christendom refer to this, to the Israel protection. Already protected Israel, already Israel is gone, and now we're talking about the coming of the Lord. That's why I brought the passage on Luke, because in the Gospel of Luke, God protected Israel for 2,000 years, and in 1948, what God did? Brought Israel back to the land. Would they believe in Jesus? No. My professor in Hebrew spent 2 years in jail for mentioning Jesus teaching English in Jerusalem and later on in Tel Aviv. Now, in the school that I study in Tel Aviv, they wrote me a letter saying, we want to teach all of you who are Christians the Hebrew point of view of Christ. I wonder if this is another flow of water, but I'm going to take the class. It's just 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours every day. It's in Hebrew. You listen to Tel Aviv directly to the professor. I want to take the class, and I want to send you the copies. I send to Tricia. I want Tricia to speak Hebrew. I send Tricia my notes. You receive it, no? My notes from the school. And I'm an alumni of the Tel Aviv Bible University, and so Tricia get my notes after I read it, but this one will be the real study. I want to see if I record it. So you look on it, and you see the real Hebrew pronouncing. Now, are they trying to teach us Christ and move us away from what it was? I don't know. But there is one thing. Brother and sister, we are not heading into better times for the church. We are heading into tough times. But regardless, what 1 John 4:4 said is good. Greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. If we remain in the book, we are in the wilderness protected. This is what I learned.